We have two guests today, our first being Peter Biskind, who we are welcoming back from his usual gig here at WGXC. Peter is the artistic director, the co-artistic director, and the executive director of Film Columbia, the wonderful Columbia County Film Festival that has been happening for the past 2 weeks, Peter, is that right?
What, 1 week? Half a week, actually. Half a week. Mm-hmm.
The last half week.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I see.
We're right in the middle of it right now.
Right.
Okay, good, yes.
So how's it going?
It's going extremely well. I mean, I think this is our best festival, by which I mean the best films and the most well-attended films we've ever had. So, it's a wonderful feeling to walk into the theater in the middle of the day knowing that a lot of people are at work and can't come, and see the theater two-thirds filled for an obscure foreign film that nobody's ever heard of.
Well, that's fabulous.
And the turnout's been amazing.
Wonderful. Well, we've been pushing it.
Yes.
Along with everybody else, I'm sure.
And I'll be there Saturday afternoon to see Call Me By Your Name.
That's a very hot film. That's been that's sold out now. And it did incredibly well on the festival circuit prior to coming to us. It played at all the big festivals. And we're very lucky to have James Ivory as a member of our community. He lives, as you probably know, in Claverack. And he's going to appear with the film as well as Peter Spears,
mm-hmm.
who lives over in Athens, who's got a small role in the film, is also the producer. And we have the teenage star of the film coming. And
that's great.
Andre Aciman, on whose novel the movie's based.
Hmm.
So, I read the book. It's exquisitely written.
Well, I haven't read it, but that's what I hear. Everybody says more or less the same thing. And so we have like three or four or five people from the movie coming with the movie, and we'll do a Q&A afterwards. And it's one of our biggest films this festival.
Yeah, I heard that it did wonderfully at Sundance and at Toronto and...
Yes, it did. It's absolutely right.
So, Peter, have you gone to all the major film festivals this year and as a spotter?
No. I never see anything. Everybody wonders how you can put together a festival without seeing any of the movies. My colleague, Larry Kardish, goes to all the festivals and has all the fun while I sit in my office and read reviews and write blurbs.
Is he still at the Museum of Modern Art?
No, he hasn't been to the Museum
of Modern Art. Retired?
He's retired. He was there. He retired about, I don't know, 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But he sort of retained all the perks. he goes to Cannes, he goes to Berlin, he goes to Sundance, everywhere I'd like to go, but I don't have time. So that's how we do it. I mean, we're a team that worked out really well. I mean, I trust his taste, and I still read reviews, and I get a lot of the evening films. He gets a lot of the daytime films.
Mm.
But we work well together, and it's worked out fine.
I'd be happy to watch films for you in the future and make recommendations.
Well, the thing
if you need another film watcher.
We'd love to have you, Ellen, if you want to go. The trouble is you got to pay your own way.
I have no experience in this, in the film business.
A small glitch. Well, you know, the amazing thing, I mean, the difficult thing about it is everybody has different taste. And, I was reading reviews of a film I had to introduce last night. And there were only like five reviews, and I was reading down the reviews and reading through the reviews, and the reviews were diametrically opposed on every single point.
Really?
So the great thing about working with Larry is we have similar taste, and I trust his taste. So, that's very important because to use his recommendations, they have to be ones that not only I agree with, but the audience likes. So, and that's worked out, as I said, very well.
Great.
I have no idea what your taste is like. What's your favorite movie this year?
You know, I don't go to the movies all that much.
Uh-huh.
And and my film history, part of my brain doesn't exist at all, because I grew up in a little village that didn't have a movie theater. And if you wanted to go to the movies, you had to get on a Greyhound bus.
Wow.
And go into the next state. I mean, it was in upstate New York, but close to the border with Pennsylvania. So I missed a lot of films that people talk about all the time. And
well, that's interesting. That might be a tiny disqualifier for you.
Okay, that's it.
But I appreciate the offer.
Well, I'm sure you get that offer a lot from people. So you're doing short films too, right? There's a whole series of short films?
We do a lot of short films at the Morris, which is our other venue.
Mm-hmm. Chatham.
In Chatham. Because we, you know, the Crandall is actually entirely for feature films.
How many seats are there in the Crandall?
About 532, mm-hmm. I believe. It's a big theater. You know, it was built in 1926 when, you know, right in the middle, towards the end of the silent era, right before the beginning of the sound era, and it was built as a vaudeville theater initially.
Yeah.
And then it ended up showing movies, but it was at a period where movies were, there was no streaming on giant TV sets in those days. Everybody went to the movies all the time, so it had a, mm-hmm. you know, for a small town, it's a big capacity theater.
Yeah, it sure is. And it was acquired by the Chatham Film Club, the same organization that runs the film festival, a number of years ago, and they've been running it all year long with a regular screening of films.
Right. We run the theater. We acquired it, I think, about 5 years ago. And I myself program the theater during the week mostly with studio movies. You know, we show, I have to confess, a lot of the big blockbuster Marvel, you know, comic book movies.
Yes.
But we also try to alternate them with movies that, you know, we have a bifurcated audience. A lot of our audience prefers so-called art films or independent films, and the rest of it seems to like the Hollywood movies. So we try to do both and switch them off.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
It is a good thing. I mean, but it's a trick. But it just makes it tricky to program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it's very difficult. I just got an invitation today to a screening of Thor Rangornik, which is coming out shortly.
Thor, yes. I'm not sure if we're going to show that or not, because a lot of those big films require a four-week run, and we're a single-screen theater. So for us to run the same film for 4 weeks, even assuming the people, that there were return viewers, even assuming the people go once or twice or three times, by the fourth week, there's nobody in the theater, so it's a killer for us. So that's a factor in terms of programming. But I want to get back to our film festival.
Mm-hmm.
Even though today is right in the middle of the festival, we backload the festival. So a lot of our best films are coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Hmm.
And we do that because, of course, Saturday and Sunday, people are out of not working, and we get our biggest audiences. So there's still time to see several really good movies, among them the one we just spoke about.
And what are some of the other ones?
Call Me By Your Name. Well, we have, on Friday, we have a wonderful documentary by Helen Whitney, who's also a local, called Into the Night, Portraits of Life and Death. And it's about how people prepare and experience dying. And although it sounds like a rather grim subject, she's done it so well and with such sensitivity that it's not a depressing movie, and it's actually quite a fascinating movie, and it's beautifully shot. So I would definitely recommend that one. And then in the evening, Friday evening, we have a film called The Leisure Seeker with Helen Mirren and Donald Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
Which the cast alone, will make it worth seeing. I mean, I haven't seen Donald Sutherland in years. And Helen Mirren is, a wonderful actor. And
mm-hmm.
Everything she does seems to be good. During the day on Saturday, we have Call Me By Your Name, and we have a film called In the Fade by Fatih Akin, who is a German-Turkish director who made a movie called Head On that we showed a number of years ago, which is really fantastic. And he's made a number of films since then, which we've shown, and he's not as well known as some of the other directors that in the series, but he's a world-class director. I think he's one of the greatest living directors, and anything he makes, I think, is worth seeing.
What is his name again?
Fatih Akin.
Mm.
And then at noon on Saturday, we have a film called The Florida Project, which is also a hot film. It's done really well at festivals. It's made by Sean Baker, who made a film called Tangerine about two transvestites, and it was shot on an iPhone, made a big splash about a year ago, and it was really a terrific movie, and this is his next movie. And I recommend that one as well.
And I also noticed that you've got The Rape of Recy Taylor on Friday afternoon.
Yes, by Nancy Bersky, and she's a really good documentary director.
I've seen it, actually.
Oh, you have seen it?
Yeah, no, I saw it at its premiere at Lincoln Center. A friend of mine is a producer on it.
I see. And?
And it's a wonderful film.
Yeah.
It is incredible. It illustrates the complexity of the 50s and the 60s and the 40s and the way small-town life in the South was lived and some of the things that happened and didn't happen and why things were causes for a little while and then they weren't.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's a really interesting subject. She's a good director. We showed a film of hers, a documentary on Sidney Lumet last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite good. So I'm glad that you saw it and I'm glad you liked it because...
And it won the Humanitarian Award at the Venice Film Festival, I believe.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And then we have our sneak preview on Saturday as well, which is always sold out. And I'm unfortunately not at liberty to say what the title of the film is, but it's also a film that has done very well at all the festivals. So I do not think people will be disappointed. And then Sunday, we have The Other Side of Hope by Aki Kaurismäki, who's a very well-known Finnish, I want to say, director. I could be wrong. Followed by Faces Places, an Agnes Varda short, Agnes Varda documentary about, you know, which is about traveling around France, ending up in Switzerland and visiting Jean-Luc Godard. And, you know, Agnes Varda is well into her 80s, if not early 90s by this time. And it's supposed to be a wonderful movie. And, you know, any Agnes Varda movie is, again, worth seeing. So then one of the most outstanding films that we're showing Sunday is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which again has done really well at the festivals. It won the Audience Award at Toronto, and it stars Frances McDormand. And
who is such a wonderful actress.
She's terrific. And and finally we're finishing up with Morris, which is one of James Ivory's earliest films. We have a 4K print. Actually, nobody says print anymore. I don't know what you call it. Anyway, it's a very high definition.
It's coming
4K
through the air.
Digital thing. And we're finishing up with that, and James Ivory again will be present to talk about the movie. So
is it spelled M-A-U-R-I-C-E?
It's spelled as if it's pronounced Maurice, but of course the British pronounce it.
Morris.
Strange.
Morris.
They're idiosyncratic in pronunciations. They pronounce it Morris. And so that does it for our Sunday schedule. I guess in Friday, I guess we covered Friday as well. So as I said, even though we're sort of in the middle of the festival now, we have a lot of interesting films coming up.
Do you ever get cancellations? Should people take a chance and show up anyway to see if there's room? Or
well, very rarely. We hadn't had one since the Kite was it the Kite Runner? Was that the about? It was already, you know, must have been 15 years ago, and the print never arrived. And we just had one yesterday, the young Karl Marx, which somehow got lost in transmission. And we showed, we moved a film that we were showing at the Morris, a Lena Olin film, moved it over there and replaced it. But, you know, if when a film doesn't, I mean, it's, as I said, it's very rare, but when it happens, we try to replace them, and or we give the audience, you know, patrons such, you know,
didn't they used to
opportunity to get their money back.
Move films, at least in New York City, with bicycles and... You know, they'd put the film in the can and the bicyclist would take it to the next borough or wherever it was going to be shown.
I guess that's probably, sounds right, but those 35 millimeter film cans were really heavy. So
yeah,
I
they
think
were.
It would be difficult to
do that. I'm sure it didn't last terribly long.
No, it didn't.
That method. Well, I'm pleased to hear there's still a lot of film at this end of the week, but
well, we also have the Morris films, which only play on Saturday and Sunday. We
have
a short film by Karen Allen,
of the
Raiders of the Lost Ark fame, who lives at Great Barrington. I think it's her directorial debut. It's a 40-minute black and white film, really very, very good.
Huh.
And that's we're playing that on Saturday, I think. And there are a number of other films at the Morris worth seeing. Actually, one of the films that I think many people are going to want to see is a film on this famous Alaskan sled dog race, which is now in the news for doping.
Yeah, Iditarod.
Yeah, and we have a feature-length documentary on it by just pure coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a good, it's a very good film, and I think that's something that will interest a lot of people.
And tonight you have Happy End with a wonderful cast of characters in it.
Yes. Michael Haneke directing Isabelle Huppert and Jean-Louis Trintignant. It's a sort of, a sequel to Amour, which we showed a few years ago, and sort of not. You know, we've had, we had two somewhat sentimental films in a row. Last night we had, well, first we had The Last Flag Flying, which is a kind of a sort of, again, sort of a sequel and sort of not to The Last Detail, the Hal Ashby film that was made in 1973. And that's sort of a male love story or a male bonding film going berserk. And with a great cast, Steve Carell and Bryan Cranston and Lawrence Fishburne. But it's, you know, they're going to bury the son of one of these vets, three Vietnam vets. And last night, I'm blanking on the film all of a sudden. We showed, what did we show last night? I just
That up, because you know what I realized, Ellen, we did not do is we did not announce that this is, we're still in the fall harvest.
We certainly are.
We're in the Fall Harvest Fundraising Drive, and we would ask our listeners to call 518-697-7400 or go to wgxc.org/donate or write a check and mail it to WGXC Care of Way Farm, 5662 State Route through State Route 23, Acre, New York 12405, or drop a check here at the studio at 704 Columbia in Hudson, in our shabby chic studio.
And so, today's program with Peter Biskind, famous author and film person, and learning all about the film festival in Chatham, which is happening this week. And I think it's a good demonstration of what WGXC can do. First of all, to keep nonprofit organizations going by helping with publicizing their programs, but also learning more about film as we go along. So Peter, thank you so much for coming. I hope you, I know you say you don't listen to the radio, but, and that he gets his news through television, apparently.
No, I didn't say that. I don't get my news through television. Well, I do listen to, I do watch MSNBC all the time, but it's so gruesome that.
And.
I know.
And it keeps it keeps repeating the gruesomeness, but.
That's true.
Never we try not to do that here at WGXC.
And there's also just, there's a local, there's a film by a local about Co-Arc that's also part of the festival?
Yes, we have a film about Co-Arc, and we also have a short about Earl.
Oh, really?
Earl Swanigan?
Yes. I think it's 10 or 12 minutes, which we are running at the Crandall in front of one of the movies. I forget which one.
Earl Swanigan is our street artist.
Yes.
Who has become quite famous.
So Hudsonites might want to see.
Do you know who made the film about Earl Swanigan?
A young filmmaker named Zimmet, whose parents are food caterers and catered our kickoff party to the festival this year, so it worked out very well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Sure did. It's a wonderful festival.
It is a wonderful festival, and I've been in and out of town all week, and I know that there's been a little bit of a controversy about the Co-Arc film, and I was just wondering how did that all work out?
It worked out very well. It was basically a misunderstanding, and tempers flared, but everything seems to have been smoothed over now, and we are showing the film twice. Once in the Morris, which is difficult access, but once in the Crandall, which is wheelchair accessible. So I think everybody on both sides is fairly happy.
Oh, good.
And Co-Arc is for developmentally disabled people, primarily.
Yes, I think so. And yeah. They do a wonderful job, and. If you want to get into controversy, why don't you ask me about Harvey Weinstein? Because I wrote the only book dealing with Harvey Weinstein, and I've been getting interviews requests back to back for ever since this scandal broke.
Oh boy,
I'm sure
you're in the middle of it.
But I'm joking. I mean, I did write the book, and I have been getting interviews, but I don't expect you to actually ask me about.
When did you write the book?
Harvey Weinstein. The book came out in 2004, way before any of this happened. Way before the scandal broke,
right.
Not before any of it happened.
Yeah. Speaking of that, because I recognize some of the books that you have written, and I think I probably have read a couple. What are some of the books you've written?
Possible. Well, I guess the book that did best was called Easy Riders, Raging Bulls, which was about Hollywood in the 70s, how the 70s Senate generation, mm-hmm. How Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Saved Hollywood is the subtitle. And the book that deals somewhat with Miramax and Harvey was called Down and Dirty Pictures, Miramax, Sundance, and the Rise of Independent Film.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a biography of Warren Beatty, and I wrote a book of, edited a book of interviews conducted at lunch between Orson Welles and a friend of mine named Henry Jaglom, also a filmmaker. And I'm working on a couple of books right now, so that's what I. That's one reason why I'm here and not at. Well, I'm here to publicize the festival, but I've had to skip a few films because I have to get this book and I have a deadline.
Ouch.
Are you still the editor of Premiere Magazine?
Well, Premiere Magazine doesn't exist anymore. It went out of business.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a sister publication of French Premiere, which does still exist.
But you still contribute to Esquire and
Vanity Fair.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
wow.
So I'm busy.
Yes.
Busy.
You certainly are. Well, we're honored to have you here.
No, thank you.
Especially when you're in the middle of a film festival.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming in. And Peter, do you live here in Columbia County?
I live at Spencertown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm honored to be here. I really appreciate the service that the station has given, done for the festival. I mean, it's publicity is like this. You can't buy it. I mean,
right.
It's a big help to us. And I'm sure it's contributed to the increase in patronage that we've experienced this year. So we appreciate it as well.
We like to think so.
Yes. We like to think that we are providing a community service that will cause people to call 518-697-7400 or go to wgxc.org/donate. Come on, people.
You heard it here. You heard it here.
Yes.
WGXC, you know, serves Greene and Columbia counties primarily, but people can listen on their computers. They can be any place in the world and get on WGXC.com, and there we are.
WGXC.org.
.org. Oh, my goodness.
Because we're not for profit. But yes, we have about 9,000 unique visitors to the website every month. Which is, you know, about 2,500 people a week, in addition to the about 5,000 that listen to us every week over the air.
Right.
That's great.
How did we get that number, Matt? Do you know?
Ask Lynn.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the online number is, you know, that they count that, but the over the air is through, because we don't have Nielsen ratings.
Right.
So there is some complicated formula that Lynn and Galen use to, based on...
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And math was never my subject.
Mine either. I wonder who I hope there's somebody someplace that's figuring it out.
I did. I was good at English and history. Math, not so much.
And I think many of us are like that.
Yes.
Anyway, Peter, is there anything else we need to know? Should people try to get tickets? If so, how do they do that?
You go to filmcolumbia.org.
Yes.
And some of the shows are sold out. The Call Me By Your Name and the sneak preview. But as far as I know, the rest of them you can still buy tickets for. And there are some really good films this weekend.
The one tonight sounds like it's really wonderful.
Yes.
Happy ending. And
again,
The Rape of Recy Taylor is a very powerful film Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they can still buy tickets, go online and buy them.
You go to the movies all weekend long.
That's right.
Yes.
Our wonderful, comfortable seats, which is a joke.
Yeah. a joke.
I was very glad that I was able to get a ticket for Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
Because I had just finished reading the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, I think I mentioned this one time on the program. I read the ending of the book at least a dozen times because it is so exquisitely beautifully written.
Wow.
Well, I haven't read the book, but everybody says the same thing, that it's a beautifully written book, so I fully intend to read it.
Yeah, it took me a while to get through it because every three or four pages I had to stop because it was just so richly layered. It was like having too much chocolate cake.
Is there such a thing?
There's no such
thing.
Yes, there is.
There's no such thing as too much chocolate cake.
All right.
But on that note, I think I better get back to the festival. But thank you again. This has been a pleasure as always.
Well, thank you so much, Peter.
We'll see you next year.
Yes, I hope
so. And thank you so much. And a pleasure to meet you.
Well, pleasure to meet you.
I'll look for you on Saturday.
Okay.
All right.